I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, my work has been partly about the conversation between the natural world and the man-made world or the human-made world, where there are these sort of architecturally inspired forms and then these natural inspired textures and surfaces. So I'm always trying to have that conversation with myself mostly as I'm working in the studio.
Nick DeVries is a professional potter and ceramics artist. His work combines impeccable craftsmanship with unique design elements, creating pieces that are functional, fine art. I caught up with him in his studio outside of Brainerd to find out about his artist's journey.
I was sort of always kind of the art kid. That went back to first grade. It was one of those things where I picked up on it quick. I liked to draw. My classmates were like, "Oh, you're good at drawing. Wow, that's cool." So it was always kind of there. And by second and third grade, I mean, I started a drawing club in second grade. And by third and fourth grade, I had my own professional drawing pencils and packs and erasers and stuff. I liked the gear and I had sketchbooks. And then from, say, first grade to all the way through high school, drawing was kind of my gig. I took my first clay class here in Brainerd in high school, my last quarter of my high school senior year. Friends of mine were encouraging me, "Hey, you should come do this. This is fun. We're messing around with the clay." And I got in the room and I sat down at the wheel and it was like, it clicked. Then I went to college to study art and I didn't know exactly what I would focus on, but in the end it was ceramics and painting. It was always art. One thing I really understood was it was going to be hard. There was no path. There's no, okay, now you do this. I had gotten the kind of apprenticeship thing in college, which was, I didn't know that was going to happen. So I was really lucky there. And so I got a lot of really good understanding about doing art fairs and making pots every day and what that looked like and pushing yourself to make new pots and better pots too. And then after college, I thought, well, I got to do something art related. So I got this job at the art store. That worked out for a little while. And then I saw, when you used to look at the paper for jobs, just this little 1-inch wanted thing. And it said potter. And I thought, what? How? Who is needing a potter? And it turns out there's a production pottery that was in the area. And they were looking for help loading kilns and glazing pots. And so I applied and got the job. And it was a couple more bucks an hour. And I thought, all right, cool. And I worked on the sort of loading and unloading kiln side for about a year and a half. And then I moved up to throwing production pots every day, making pots. And once I got up to speed there, I was throwing anywhere from 150 to 250 pots a day. So the quantities were crazy. And then I did that for another 7 years. I threw almost 300,000 pots for them in the time I was there. Coffee mugs and beer mugs that they sell to coffee shops or breweries or Renaissance festivals, that sort of thing. And yeah, for the most part, in the beginning, it was, here's what we make. We need 100 of these and we need 50 of those. And here are the orders. And you're going to make 200 pots a day. And then they also opened up some studio space. So some of the people that worked there could use an older gas kiln that they had and a couple of old electric kilns. And we could fire and make our own work there. And so that's where I started to make my own work again after having not made pots since college time. Yeah. So it had taken a couple years to get back into really making work. I'd always been painting and drawing along the way, but that was kind of after working at the pottery for a couple years is when I started to make pots again and then start to think, all right, now I want to go back to do some shows, do some traveling art fairs thing, maybe try to get a gallery in the area that would show my work. And that's when it started to build. You know, it was fits and starts. I would get into an art fair and think, all right, cool, I'm going to make a bunch of pots for it, and I would go and I would make no money. Or I would do okay, and I'd be like, oh, all right, well, that happened. And then one of the first places that showed my work is a place up here near Brainerd. It's in Aiken Ripple River Gallery. And so they were the first people that were showing my work in a little gallery, and then I would get a check every month. And sometimes it was $20, but I remember the first time I got something that was like $180. And I thought, oh man, that's kind of real money to me. And so I just tried, when I had successes, I tried to just reproduce those. And then when I had trouble or failures, I tried to learn from it. And since then, it's just been a kind of a constant ebb and flow. I don't do as many of the traveling shows anymore. My career has grown where I'm being represented by more galleries, regionally and nationally.
That's Nick DeVries. He's a ceramics artist whose skills are profound. partly because of the 300,000 pots he threw for a pottery company, and partly because of his natural talent for design.
Functional pots. That's kind of my gravitational force, if you will. And so everything kind of revolves around there. And then I have a certain approach that I do use for all the different styles and different kinds of pots. But in essence, each pot I make is a one-off. I do make the same kinds of mugs over and over, and the same kinds of pitchers or bowls or vases, but they're all different in their own ways. I do a lot with texture, so that texture is kind of a constant theme, or there are these little marks, these little squares that I kind of press into the pots and they change, but they're usually there on the pot. So there are these unifying characteristics too that kind of work amongst the body of work as a whole, but then each pot is entirely individual on its own. They definitely have that height that is sort of a constant theme in the work too, partly is that the linear quality of that texture kind of pulls those pots up and makes them kind of feel taller sometimes than they are. And slender pots too, they're kind of often drafting in.
Nick's pieces are not your typical bowls or teapots or pitchers or mugs. His process takes each piece to another dimension. In fact, he gives each piece more dimension.
So all the work starts on the potter's wheel. And I work under the umbrella that's often termed thrown and altered, meaning the pots start on the potter's wheel, but at some place along the way, before they're fired and glazed, they get altered. Some people cut pots apart and put them back together. I kind of form the pots from the inside out, and then I use this SureForm tool, it's a rasp, to refine those corners and edges, and that leaves that texture. Mm. How things end up looking like they do now is always kind of on an evolutionary changing scale, kind of a push and pull. I was really into the texture and square pots and things really boxy and full of texture for a while. And now I've introduced more curvature to the pots and I'm pulling away some of the texture and playing with those two surfaces and how they interact.
What are you working on now? Like when you came into work today, what was the plan?
Yeah, today was a glazing day. So I spent the morning in my glaze studio glazing pots. Usually there's a cycle and it ebbs and flows and it's different for all potters. Mine is about a 3-week cycle. I make pots on the wheel and finish for maybe, a week and a half to 2 weeks. And then my racks are full and I've got to start glazing. And then I move over and I'm bisque firing kilns and I'm glazing pots and I'm getting to the point where I have a kiln load or two to glaze fire. And then once those are firing, I'm cleaning up the glaze studio and I'm back in here. So today was prepping the insides for liner glazes. And then tomorrow I'll be dipping and spraying. I do a lot of spraying on my pots. And then I'll be loading kilns. And
spraying with water?
No, I spray them with glaze.
Oh, and that gives them that model-y?
Yes. Yeah, I get that variation from layering different kinds of glazes. Some of the pots have 4 or 5 glazes layered on the outside surfaces. The potter they worked for, he was very into this idea that your work will evolve. You just need to kind of challenge yourself daily to look at it freshly. And your work will evolve. You don't need these real revolutionary things and change entirely. So I started making square pots a long time ago, and I kind of boxed myself in some ways. And so recently I'm sort of loosening up and I'm trying to reintroduce more round motifs and rounder pots back into the work and then see how those two kind of pots interact with each other and talk to each other. Where I'm at right now, I'm pretty excited about. 4 or 5 years ago, if I called myself today and was like, hey, what am I showing? I would be like, no way. The new things I'm looking out towards are workshops at certain places. I did a residency last spring at the Plains Art Museum in Fargo. And that was a great experience. It was a week out there. Those are some of the things I'm kind of reaching out for. But there are always galleries that are on my radar. And I've been lucky in the past to just have them email me out of the blue, and other times I've applied to shows where I think, oh, this is kind of a prestigious show, and I don't get in. So there's still this kind of hit-and-miss aspect to the potter's life.
That's Nick DeVries. He's a Brainerd area potter who whose work I would describe as a fascinating balance between modern and ancient, organic and architectural, minimalistic and serenely ornate, and tall and small. You can find his creations online at devriespottery.com. You can also find his Etsy shop, Nick DeVries Pottery, or you might see his work in galleries. He's featured across Minnesota and all around the country. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.